This is part three of Pastor Billy Burke's teaching series titled Recovering from Shattered Faith. Now, here's Pastor Billy with part three.
I want to talk to you today about recovering from shattered faith. Recovering from shattered faith. Whenever you're believing for something, for someone, expecting an outcome, healing, money, a marriage, a job, a next season in your life, and it does not take place, at least in the time that you'd like it to, so often it is a time of such discouragement. If not handled properly, it can set you back light years from moving forward in God. It is where the devil waits for you, like the grizzly bear waits for the fish swimming upstream. You're going to be the fish that gets past the grizzly bear, and you're going to get to the place where you lay your eggs, you fulfill your purpose. But to do that, you have to learn how to recover, how to get back up on your feet after you get the thought or the feeling that whatever you're doing hasn't worked or doesn't work. You don't want to start something that then is fed by only negative, disappointed people or by the demons and the devil himself, which will chime in all the time saying, yeah, where was God? Yeah, how about those prayers? Yeah, that man said you'd be healed. Yeah, that prophet said your marriage would be restored. There's an avalanche of negativity waiting to join in on cycles of negative thinking and disappointment. And that's why we must. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times in one day, and seven times he stands back up again. We serve a God of restoration, a God of recovery, not a God of the second chance, but a God of the millionth chance. Hear my heart today as we share thoughts with you on this CD, that you would get back that step, that you would get back that punch, that you would get back that smile, that joy, that peace, that you would recover your faith to believe strongly again. Oh, not based on your feeling, not based on what it looks like or seems like, but based on the most surest thing on planet Earth, the Word, the written Word of God. More sure than the terra firma, the ground that you stand on, is the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 139, His Word is settled in the heavens. It's settled in the heavens, and when it gets settled in you, it gets settled in your circumstances. I said, it's already settled in the heaven. The next person is to get settled in you, and then it gets settled in your circumstances. And eventually, it can be settled in the earth. Oh, hear me. I'm going to read a passage out of Luke chapter 24. And it says, verse 13, and behold, two disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, meaning the resurrection. This is right after the resurrection, and they're walking down the road to Emmaus, two of the disciples of Jesus. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, the resurrected Jesus. But their eyes were holden that they could not know him. So here's two disciples after the resurrection, but they didn't know he had resurrected. They're walking down the road. Jesus kind of comes incognito. Their eyes are sovereignly kept from knowing him because Jesus wanted to eavesdrop into their conversation and see what kind of a conversation they were having. And it says in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another while you walk, and it's making you so sad? The fruit of their thinking, the fruit of their conversation was having a negative impact. It was making them sad. It was keeping them down, deflated. Verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, he said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know the things which have just come to pass in these past couple of days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been in which he should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, to this day is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said unto them he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then Jesus said these words. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things so that he could enter into his glory? And then verse 27, so vital. At the beginning, at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Here are two disciples rehearsing to a stranger, they thought, but it was Jesus. And they rehearsed to him that how much they believed that Jesus was the deliverer of Israel, to redeem Israel. They had a David figure in mind, a warrior coming on a horse, fighting battles. And they said to him, well, he was crucified and he was buried. Some of our people, our women, went to the tomb and said that he wasn't there, and an angel told them. And, you know, and then where is he? And the body's gone. And they were just they were free falling. They no longer had the assurance that the man they walked with, the miracles that they saw, the teachings that they heard, no longer was able to connect them to a living, vibrant faith. Something came into their faith zone, something that was unprepared them, unexpected, that shook their faith. Listen to me, it's okay to have your faith shook. It's not okay to have your faith broke. Shaking brings separation. When you shake the sediment in the pan from the gold, you separate the sediment from the gold. You know, when you shake anything, it is meant to bring separation. So shaking can be healthy. You find out where you don't believe. You find out what's causing the unbelief. But oh my, whenever you let your faith break and it gets shattered, that's a whole nother issue. These two men were so down, even though they were saying that the women went and saw an angel and they saw an empty tomb, it just didn't touch them anymore. This was shattered faith because this just didn't happen the way they thought that it should. They had a whole different plan that God was going to do through Jesus than the way it was taking place. And they were discouraged. And what did Jesus say? The way you're talking means that's the way you're thinking. And the fruit of that, it's making you sad. It's making you discouraged. You're walking with the risen Lord right now, and you don't even know it. Let me say this to you right now. Right as you're listening to this CD, the healer is among you. The deliverer is next to you. The repairer of the breach, the restorer of your life, is right next to you. Listen, as you're hearing my voice pierced into your wilderness, into your challenge, into your dilemma, know that there's one that sticketh closer to you than a brother. He is ever present right now in your room, in your car, wherever you are with headphones on. If you're on an airplane, a taxi cab, in an airport, in a hospital, listen to me. He is there with you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Almighty God, is piercing into your dark place. What? To heal you, to bring you through, to get you out, to get you back up again into that place of favor and trust. Oh, this is such an exciting, exciting moment. I'll tell you, these two men are an example today of so many who had expectations that just didn't turn out, and they rehearse and they rehearse. And what happens is usually people begin to overanalyze their situation. Did I pray enough? Did I go to church? I shouldn't have did this, and I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have listened to her. Why did I do that? And why did I go there? Is there any unforgiveness in me? You know, and the list goes on and on and on. And the more that you regurgitate those kind of thinkings in a crisis moment, it doesn't make you better. It enables the enemy to chime in, negative people to chime in, your own guilt to chime in, and actually bury you. It actually take you to a place that's so very, very dangerous. You're going down a road that has a dead end. It really, really does. I mean, it's so important that you understand how the enemy is a thief. It says in John 10:10, the enemy cometh for to steal, then kill, then destroy. He wants to steal any faith seed you have, any hope of recovery that you're believing for, any hope that the prophecies you have, the dream that you had, the prayers that have been prayed, if you have any hope in you that they're going to come to pass, if you're holding on to a small little handle, like a baby handle on a big door, if you're holding on to that, he's trying to break your fingers to keep that door from opening for you. Why? Because he wants to make a shift in you. Here's the shift the enemy is content to make, a deal he will cut all day long. If he can get you to move from knowing to saying, I don't know anymore. If he can get you to move on your absolutes. You see, absolute is when there's no mixture. Something that is absolutely true means that there's no room for doubt. There's no room for mixture. There's no margin of error. There's no second guessing. It's absolutely true. Like the law of gravity. If you jump off of a high building, it's absolutely true. You will drop to the bottom. It's absolutely true. If you put your hand on a hot stove, it'll be burnt. It's absolutely true that if you jump into water, you'll get wet. It's absolutely true that if you trust the word of the living God, it will come to pass. You know, there's not a lot of absolutes in the real world. I just mentioned a few laws of natural laws and laws of physiology, certain things about our bodies, about science. But the absolutes is what the enemy is trying to steal from you. Your prophecies, your dreams, the prayers that have been prayed, your expectations. He wants to just move you just a little right or a little left. He wants to get you off center. He wants to get you off trusting that in spite of what you've been through and the disappointment that you're feeling, that somehow this is still all going to work out for you in a good way, no matter what it may be. Please hear this teaching in its full form. We all have to go through some very painful valleys. We read about the valleys. We read about the deserts. Thank God for all of the all of the people in the Bible that were such prime examples of faith. I mean, we have so many amazing people that just Abraham and the Hebrew children and Daniel and Paul and Silas. And I mean, there's so many that just did amazing things and got amazing results. And we follow hard after that. But there's also many that took another road to get to where they are. And they had maybe a few more flaws, a few more weaknesses, or there was a higher purpose. And so they went through times of disillusionment and depression. And Joseph was supposed to go from, his home and the dream to the fulfillment of that dream, but he took the long way around to get to that dream. He was betrayed by his brethren. He broke his father's heart because he thought he was dead, sold to merchants, accused of raping Potiphar's wife, put in prison for 10 years plus 2 more years, 12 years in a dungeon, all over a dream. The devil don't want your dream to come to pass. He don't want you to get healed. You are a walking threat. You know what they said about Lazarus after Lazarus was raised from the dead? Whenever all the crowd was coming to the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover, they were so excited to hear about the man that raised from the dead, and the council, the Sanhedrin, got together and said, we have to kill him. His story is too strong. If word gets out, this could spread. I'm telling you right now, if you get strong, if you get your faith back, if you begin to be a mountain mover, a water walker, if you begin to carry the hot glory of God on the inside of you, you too will be a threat. to everything the enemy's trying to do in your circle and beyond. That's why you must recover your ability to believe and trust, not just at the level you were, but at an even higher level does God want to take you. So it's very important that God wants you to move into a place of complete restoration of your faith, to recover all the broken pieces. Nothing can be put back together unless God has all the pieces in his hands. You can't put back together a broken vase, a car that's been damaged. Nothing broken can be put back together unless all of the pieces are given to the master builder so they can be graciously, seamlessly put back together. Trust me, the reason the devil wants to move you from the knowing crowd to the I don't know crowd, because there's a whole lot more people in the I don't know crowd. Well, I don't know if God heals all the time. Well, I don't know if talking in tongues does any good. I'm not sure about this thing called the anointing. I don't know about that falling under the power. There's so many people who are not single-minded about some of the major, major truths of the Scripture. And when you're not single-minded, that means that your faith has been scattered. It means that you're not sure. You can't fully benefit until you're fully sure. That's why Paul said, I'm fully persuaded. Fully persuasion takes a force of your will, of your commitment, and of the Holy Spirit. And of course, using God's word, God's experiences. But listen to me, this place where you are only visiting. You are not going to camp here. That's why this voice coming through this particular CD into your head, headed for your spirit, is about igniting the fuse of faith that is still on the inside of you. Yes, it may have gone out, but you're going to get ignited. You're going to get retooled, refired, and you will burn bright once again for the Lord Jesus. Because I tell you, if people, there's so many people out there who have been so devastated and they don't realize when you don't recover your faith, when you don't take the time to find out that you're going more by feeling and more by sight than you are by faith, it's very hard in your next battle to believe. And then what if you're praying for people and they need your faith and you're going by what you feel and not by your faith? You're going by what you think instead of what God thinks in his scriptures. Now you become a disservice to yourself and a disservice to the many that want to rely on your faith to get them over the bridge of troubled water. I'll tell you right now, I love the examples in the Bible where the people struggled, but they didn't stay in a place of struggle. You know, Joseph struggled in that prison. It says his soul went into his leg irons. As we know about John the Baptist, he said, go find out, are you the one or should we look for another? Peter quit the ministry, went back to fishing. There's so many stories where people's faith was shattered. But thank God Joseph got it back. Peter got it back. Thank God John the Baptist got it together. And you are going to get it together. Yes, you're going to get it together. You're going to get through this time. And your confession won't be, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. God's going to get you sure again because your time for influential living is here. Your time to live a significant life for God is upon you. And that's why the urgency of this revelation is coming to you in this particular time that it is. I'll tell you, God has something so very powerful for you. Oh my. You know, rarely do people show up in any of our meetings. Rarely do people talk about their faith being shattered. It's just something that you don't do. People don't show up and say, my faith is shattered. I don't trust God anymore. I'm not so sure he heals anymore. No, what they do is they suffer quietly and silently they drift into this I don't know land. You know, they're looking for a way back. They're looking how to get their faith back, how to get their trust back. Yeah, the Bible speaks so much about recovery. It talks about recovering possessions. or the spoils of war. It talks about recovering your health, recovering the land, recovering children, recovering your inheritance. It talks about recovering revelation. It talks about recovering your reputation. It talks about getting your strength back. See, recovering is whenever you get back what is rightfully yours. Calvary gave you, you and I got so many benefits from Calvary beyond just going to heaven, beyond just getting a few healings. We got the benefit of the unsearchable riches of Jesus. There's no limit to the God that lives on the inside of you. And he wants to get you through this. He wants to recover your memory. He wants to recover, you know, the years that the devil stole out of your youth. You can get them back in your senior years or your middle of life years. This Bible is a miracle manual for your recovery. It really, really, really is. But it has to be taken seriously. It has to be more than a book of history. It has to be more than a book of culture. It has to be more of a book of great stories. It's got to become a book of truth, not opinion, not conjecture, not speculation, but a book of truth, of final authority for you. In other words, if you read it, it's settled. There's no doubt about it. It may take time to wrap your faith around that and cancel your thoughts in your mind and submit your mind and your thinking to what you're reading because, well, that was supposed to happen, but it didn't happen. Well, you may not fully understand why something hasn't happened. Oftentimes, there's a bigger plan in place than what we know. All we can believe for is what we know. You know, what's a better plan? What has more impact? Lazarus getting healed and not dying? Lazarus dying and getting raised from the dead? What's more powerful, a healing testimony or a resurrection testimony? Sometimes God knows how to set things up. See, God looks at things in the light of eternity, not in the light of our lifespan. He's after saving your whole family. He's after anointing all of your children. He's after an open heaven hitting your house so that the glory, the favor, the raw power of God falls all over you and everybody connected to you. Out of your belly flows personality? No. Out of your belly flows charisma? No. Out of your belly flows all of the college degrees and account? No, no, a million times no. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Paul said, I don't come to you with eloquency of speech, but I do come in the power and demonstration of the living God. I want to give you four major principles that will help you begin to recover from shattered faith. This could be the loss of a loved one, a divorce, something's gone wrong in your money. You could be, as you're listening to this, in such a place, how can I ever get back to believing like I did, let alone believing for more? How can I get every mountain moved? I can't even get my furniture moved in my house from one room to another. I can't even get stuff moved out of my garage or my attic. How can I move invisible mountains blocking my blessing? Pay attention. Just because you are tired, it doesn't mean you're tired of it. You're tired in it. Just because you've hit a snag don't mean you're going to stay snagged. God's going to feed you through the keyhole and underneath the door. He's going to restore you. And your faith will be, once again, stronger than it's ever been in your whole life. But you have to first admit, my faith needs help. It's not just that I need healed, or I need money, or I need to get through this. The vehicle that gets you through something is your faith. Your ability to believe. How do you know you're believing? You're not negative. negative people tells me they're not believing. You're not complaining. Complainers tell me they're not believing. You're not sarcastic and cynical. What's that tell me? You're not believing. What tells me when you're believing? You expect. There's an assurance in your eyes. There's something comes out your voice that says, you know what? I'm going to be all right. You don't have to give every people the reason and all the details. But the assurance on the inside of you doesn't come from self-confidence. It comes from God-confidence. It's something that God rewards you with because you take the time to believe His words over your words, to believe His thoughts over your thoughts, to believe His path over your path. Let me give you these four basic principles. Why do I say that? It's because what did Jesus do to these two disciples to get them back on the track to believing and healing their shattered faith? He said, since the time of Moses. Isn't that interesting? This is thousands of years later. He's on a road to Emmaus. He's resurrected. He needs to repair the faith of these two disciples that had shattered. And he begins to revisit them with Moses. You know, sometimes the way forward is backward and the way up is down and the way in is out. And you know, we live in this kingdom that is so different than in the natural realm. And what I'm going to do here is give you four principles that you need to. Now, when I give you these, you're going to say, well, I know that. Well, what you know and what you believe may be two different things. There's people that know a lot, but what they believe doesn't manifest. I want you to take time as we go down through these. And you may want to think about this even after the CD is over. Make a few notes, play it over again. Get these four principles in you today, tomorrow. Take the next 21 days to meditate on these. I promise you that there will be a resurrection, a restoration, a renaissance of your faith like you've never seen before. Because these are four absolutes I'm about to give you. Four absolutes. No doubt about it. And the first one is this, that Jesus is who He says He is. You got to have faith in Him. You got to rehearse His path. He came from heaven to earth, born of a virgin, 12 years old in the temple, said, this day is the scripture fulfilled. Only 12. Had the silent years up until 30. Shows up at 30. He's at the Jordan River. The heavens open, a dove lands on him, and a voice speaks, an audible voice. Imagine you're at a baptism, and a voice out of the sky speaks, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. He comes, you know, he goes into the wilderness. He fights the enemy on 40 days of no food and no water. He begins his public ministry by turning water into wine. And then he began to teach. And then came the healing. Then came the miracles, one after the other after the other. Put money in the mouth of fish. Walked on water. Raised a dead man. Raised another dead person. Went to Jairus' house and raised her. People were touching him and getting healed. He is Almighty God. He said to Philip, Philip, have you been with me so long and you ask me to show you the Father? Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Imagine Philip, who later became probably the greatest evangelist of the New Testament. He was the house evangelist in the book of Acts. When there was a crusade, they sent Philip to preach it. But imagine there was a day whenever Philip was asking Jesus a question, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have you been with me this long and you don't know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I'm talking to you about reestablishing. Just don't assume that Jesus, you believe who he is. You got to begin to say, he's my healer. He's the Savior of my soul. I believe he came from heaven to earth. I believe his blood was different than my blood. His body was different than my body. I believe he didn't have type A, type O, type B. He didn't have that. He had precious blood. That the blood of Mary did not go into his blood in the womb. or he would have been contaminated. So, and you work thing, you rebuild your faith by believing that Jesus isn't just some other religious guru, some other religious talking head that a bunch of us people believe in, as all religions have their head guy, their main man. And they've all seen something, heard something, been somewhere, but only one claims to have risen from the dead. Yes, on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he walked among people for 40 days, eating food, drinking water, speaking about the kingdom, yes, and doing miracles. Amazing. Reestablish Jesus. Reestablish him. I mean, take the next, like I said, so many days, and you are my way, my truth, and my life. You are my Alpha and my Omega. You are who you say you are. There's no better place to start repairing shattered faith than reestablishing who Jesus is to you. He's more than a big brother. He's more than a great friend. He's more than your all in your all. Give him some definition and some title that he deserves. Healer, deliverer, restore, peace, joy. Say it and think it. Go for a walk, go for a ride. Lock yourself in the bathroom. But reestablish who Jesus is to you. Peter said to Jesus, some say you're the Baptist. Some say you're the Elijah and reincarnated. And Jesus said, well, Peter, who am I to you? I don't give a holy hoot who I am to other people. Who am I to you? That's what matters here. And that's when Peter came back, well, thou art the Christ. And then he said, Simon Barjona, only the Holy Spirit could have shown you this. It's so vital that we just don't live on another person's Jesus, the church Jesus, the groupie Jesus, the history Jesus. Today, find out, who is Jesus to you? And if he isn't enough, then yield to him and say, I yield to you today. I receive all of your glory of who you are. Well, how do you do that? Because you believe what God's word says about him, what the Spirit that's witnessing through this CD says about him. That's the beginning back, because all of our faith is centered in him. It's centered on what he did at Calvary. How do you get faith back if there's a question mark about Jesus? Establish Jesus. Take some time. Quit wondering what happened, why it didn't happen. That is such a tool of the enemy. Push that aside and say, I'm going to establish who Christ is to me. Who Christ is to me over these next days and weeks. Putting aside, you don't have to go to work on this and go to work on that. Reestablish who Jesus is. Number two, his word of God is true. It's not just an opinion. It's not just another angle. The word of God has to become the final say-so that you anchor your faith on. In other words, you held on. His word says you're healed. You hang on to that. Your word says you're going to come through the valley. You hang on to that. Your word says he's going to restore your years. You hang on to that. Save your family. Hang on to that. I mean, you plant yourself in what God says. And you say, I believe that. My thinking says this, but I'm believing what I'm reading. My feelings say this, but I'm believing what I'm reading. The doctors say this, but I'm believing what I'm reading. My guilt is trying to talk. The enemy's trying to talk. Of course they are. They're trying to muddy the water. They're trying to confuse the issue. They're trying to get you into that place of I don't know. They're trying to get you into that place of, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but you know, sometimes there's a, you know, God has a different way. No, God don't move outside of his own word. God don't move outside of his promises. When God promises, it's because he promises. You say, well, why didn't it happen? Well, that's whenever you say, I want to know that I put my trust in his word. If something shouldn't go the way that it should and your trust was in his word, then you have the rest that there's got to be something higher that will be revealed to you. But until then, you don't move left or right. You say, like Joshua said in chapter 1, I'm going to meditate day and night, not move left or right, and everything I put my hand to will succeed. Or Acts 16:31, I'm going to believe on the Lord and my whole house will be saved. Or Deuteronomy 33:25, as my days and so shall my strength be. And Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And Joel 3:10, let the weak say, I am strong. It's so vital that his word becomes your word. So that when people say to you, hey, how do you feel? Say to them, it doesn't matter how I feel, it's what God says. Don't ask me how I feel. Ask me what the Word of God says. It says of Jesus, he became poor that you and I might be made rich. It says that he became a sacrifice that we might be free from our guilt, our shame, and our sins. Not only the sins you have done, but any sin you ever will do. He paid in advance. He put it on master charge. He just says, charge it. If you sin today after you hear this, he says, charge it. If you sin a year from now, he says, just charge it to master charge. And the password on the back of that card, Calvary, the cross, my blood. Establish today that Jesus is who he says he is. Establish today that the Word of God is the Word of God, that is truth, that is final authority. Rest in that. Number three, that the Holy Spirit has been given to you to help you. Please don't resist in asking the Holy Spirit, help me. That's why he's there. I mean, Jesus knows if anybody, the people were in the garden, they couldn't even pray 1 hour with him. 3 times he had to wake them up. Tarry with me 1 hour. Tarry with me 1 hour. He saw the weakness, the frailty in human nature. He's not shocked by our weakness. So whenever you come to a place you can't pray, you can't trust, you can't believe, you can't hang in there, whatever phraseology that you use, that's the perfect time to say, Holy Spirit, give me the grace. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's why Zechariah said back in the day, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If anything's going to get restored in you, it's going to be by way of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to get your faith back to where it was and beyond, it's going to be because of the Holy Spirit, not because of you or I, or the great church, or the great preacher, or I read this book. He'll use all of that, but make no mistake about it. It's being done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that starts it. He's the one that continues it. He's the one that finishes it. Every day of your waking life, there should be at least one 10-second cry up, Holy Spirit, help me today. Help me get through today. Help me remember what you said to me. Help me connect to the right people. Help me get out of jams. Holy Spirit, help me. When you begin to reestablish who Jesus is, when you begin to reestablish the Word of God is the truth to your life, when you begin to reestablish that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you waiting, just waiting for your text, your email, your knock on the door to say help. And finally, number four, oh, I love this. Romans 8:38, 36, 37, 38 says that if you stay in his purposes, all things will work together for the good. Many quote this verse, for we know that all things work together for the good. Well, there's a lot of people it doesn't work for the good. Their life gets worse, ends worse. What happened? That verse says this, if you're called according to his purpose, and you are, and you stay in his purpose, and you pursue his purpose. In other words, if you simply want what God has for you, and you know that he has something for you to be, something for you to do, and just in your life, in your confession, in your prayers, in your thoughts, oh God, I want what you want. Just that heartfelt desire to be, to have, to do, to walk in. God says, if you want what I want for you, you know, with all of the obstacles you're fighting, all of the sandbagging going on in your life, if I know that you want what I have for you, then no matter what happens, I'll make it all work together for the good. Do you understand what that means? God's going to take this situation you're in and somehow, do not ask me how, I don't understand it. It's happened in my own life a million times. But he takes a failure. He takes a loss. He takes something that didn't happen. He takes your discouragement. And if you'll just continue to say, I got to keep going after God's purpose, he will somehow take all of that. It's kind of like fertilizer. You know, fertilizer is smelly dirt, you know, with all kinds of compound properties in it. And you wonder, how can something so bad odor-wise be so healthy for the crop or for the plant? And God uses the dead things of our lives, if it's properly handled, to fertilize us for the future. He works it together for our good. Oh, I could name a litany of things here on this teaching. The benefit of them would not be appropriate at the time. Maybe later in a teaching, in a book or something, I'll reveal those. But so many things along the way could have taken Billy Burke out of what Billy Burke was called to do. So many heartaches, so much disappointment. And it brought me to my knees. It brought me to call on him at a higher level. It showed me my own weakness, showed me his strength. And I reached out of the hand of despair as Peter did in the water, saying, Lord, save me or I perish. And I have found that hand many, many, many times. And I know you have, and I know you will find that hand. These four major staples, these four major foundational stones are a must. They may not seemingly apply to your situation at the moment, but they do overall. For without your reconnecting in Jesus, without you reconnecting with the Word of God and making sure you know that that's the absolute truth, no other book, it all pales in comparison. Science bows. The wise men, the magi, the astronomers bowed at the manger. The wise men bowed at the manger of a baby. You must understand these four staples and the Holy Spirit there to help you. Holy Spirit, show me, help me. And finally, that if you stay after his purpose is not your own, your own purposes have no grace in them, no keeping power, no sustaining ability. And that's why sometimes we got to go through many jobs. We got to move around so many houses because all of your choices don't work. So God says, okay, even though I didn't have you live there, work there, do this. And sometimes, you know, even some of the relationships you've formed and fashioned, you look back and you go, wow, I made that happen. I did that. That was put together by me. That was my effort. That was the vegetables from my garden like Cain did, and not the animal of the shed blood like Abel did. And you begin to realize so much in your life may be because of what you did without prayer, without seeking God. And so you realize, wow. And yet God's going to take all of that anyhow, put it in the blender, and work it out for your good. Yeah, for your good. That's why you don't remember your mistakes and rehearse your mistakes, because they're all going to work out for your good. Not because of you, but in spite of you. Not because of me, but in spite of me. God doesn't bless me or you because we are good and we've done everything right. He blesses us because he is good and he did everything right. He's restoring your faith. Your faith will be weak no more, shattered no more. He's about to put you back together. He's about to let you be seen and the glory in you be revealed. Never forget where he found you. Never forget where you come from. Never forget how he put you back together and put your faith back together so you can be sensitive and compassionate to those that you meet that yet struggle, maybe in the place that you now or were in. Oh, he's amazing. The Bible says when these disciples heard what Jesus said, their hearts began to burn. And they said to him, please don't go. Stay with us. Spend the night. And so he stayed. They went by a campfire. He served them communion and then vanished in front of them, just vaporized in front of their very eyes. They were so shocked. They said, where did he go? I'm telling you, when you begin to get your faith reconnected, when you begin to trust again, when you begin to give over and take the time to reestablish who Jesus is, what the Word of God means to you, who the Holy Spirit is to you, when you begin to say, I don't want just what I want in life, I want God's purposes. Today there's so many that would be considered successful, but they're so broken and fractured. They're so empty. Their compass has just been destroyed. They're lost at sea, can't see the lighthouse. Yet they sit in mansions, lots of money in the bank. They have their own TV program, and many of them have a household name, and yet they're wells without water, clouds without rain. You don't want to be that. You want to be absolutely satisfied. Oh, precious one, hear me today. God wants to restore, repair, and seamlessly put back together your faith in Him, in His written word, in His plans for you, in the relationship with the Holy Spirit to help you, and the assurance that irregardless of imperfection, wrong choice, whatever, if you'll say, Lord, I want your purpose for my life, He will factor everything in and work it out all for your good. The healing and the recovery of shattered faith will be a vehicle that will take you further, farther, and deeper into the riches of your great God. Amen and amen.
For more information about this and any of Billy Burke's other teachings, please call 813-287-2116, or you can call us toll-free at 888-7 and the word HEALED. The mailing address is Billy Burke World Outreach, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. You can also visit us on the web at billyburke.org.